Rumor has it, once hit a drive 308 yards with a Happy Gilmore start off the tee. I can't confirm that. Hmm. That's what the rumor is. Mr. Oko, what's happening?
Hey, good, geez. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Can you Happy Gilmore it down the pipe?
Well, once in a while, if I don't slip.
Now, for me, the Ryder Cup, maybe because it's so much different. You know, it's teammates, it's mano a mano. I like this. It's the most, to me, it's the one tournament that I will watch more than any other one. Well, how do you feel about it as a pro golfer? Do you like this style better than, you know, match play that they have and everything and better two-ball play and stuff better than a regular format?
Oh, hands down. The Ryder Cup is just, that is, you know, if you're a golfer and a true fan of the sport, like the Ryder Cup just, you know, it just gets you going. It's, you know, it's unfortunate we don't have any Canadians in it, but if you're a golf fan, I tell you, the Ryder Cup is, you're glued to the TV for the weekend. It's so exciting. It's just, you know, you're playing for your countries, right? So it's a little different. You're not playing for your individual self. I think that's why Europeans do so well.
Yeah, it's interesting to me for a lot of reasons, Blair, but one of them, and you just mentioned it at the end, Europeans do so well. I can't for the life of me, not that I'm his number one fan, but I can't figure out why Phil Mickelson has been so overall inept in Ryder Cup play. And I think one reporter referred to it as a blot on his resume in a piece I read, and he kind of made a joke about that. That's a bit strong, but a great player like Mickelson just doesn't get it done there. How come?
Yeah, he doesn't have a winning record, does he?
No.
That's a tough one. You know, he's going to go down as one of the best golfers of all time, and when it comes to the Ryder Cup, for whatever reason, he just doesn't shine. I don't know if it's just the type of format just doesn't suit him. I don't know what it is. He seems to be, you know, right into it. Like he's, you know, he wants to do so well. Maybe he's, you know, who knows? Maybe he tries too hard, right? And wants to get the job done. And it just, you know, the pressure of, you know, wearing your flag and all those sorts of things come on. And maybe he just, you know, it's a different game for him. That's all.
Now, on day one, of course, now it's the four balls and the four foursomes. Foursomes is a match between two teams of two golfers where they alternate shots, and then the four ball is where you play your own ball throughout. Which one, the foursome, you have to have, I think, a real good trust with your partner, because let's say you crush your drive and then he doesn't have a great approach shot, now you kind of got a feel for him. I would think that one creates more camaraderie than any of the other ones.
Oh, yeah, when you're playing alternate shot. This is where, you know, I think this year's Ryder Cup is going to be, you know, interesting with Tom Watson being the captain. You know, knowing your players, and, you know, he spent the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks playing with a lot of these players in tournaments and getting to know their personality and who's going to match up well to play with each other and feed off each other. 2 years ago, Keegan Bradley and Phil Mickelson did really well. So that's really key, is you know, getting a partner that you're going to just feed off of and hopefully have success. And I think if you got that, the good vibes going, or, you know, you're going to have success, right? So I think the alternate shot is, that's a tricky one. You know, that's where the captains are going to have to really come into play and make the right decisions.
Yeah, it's interesting, Blair. Chemistry is an overused word, but it's got to have something to do with it. And I wonder if the chemistry is better with the European guys, and if so, why? I mean, they're playing the same game, yet you've got to have that right guy that you're playing with.
Yeah, you know, the Europeans, you know, as we know, we watched the Ryder Cup over the years, they just seem to, you know, I think the U.S. is starting to do this more too, but I think they've learned a lesson from the Europeans, you know, how they, you know, just bond together as a team and they pull for each other. You know, I'm not saying that the U.S. Doesn't do it, but the personalities are just a little different. And when it comes down to this type of format, that makes a huge difference in the results of the tournament, that's for sure.
Blair Oko from the Blair Oko Golf Academy joins us talking Ryder Cup. When you look at the two teams right now, who do you feel has the advantage and why?
Well, you know, Europe is strong. You know, they've you know, Rory McIlroy is just playing unreal this last 2 months of the season. You know, they got good leadership in Graham McDowell and you know, these guys, you know, Sergio Garcia is there, and he just gets so excited, and he, you know, the rest of the team really, you know, he gets them going, right? And I'm saying the U.S. is the underdogs for sure. That said, Europe has won the last five of the last six Ryder Cups, so I think Europe should be the favorite. And are they going to win? You know, it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, Tom Watson, he'd be the guy to maybe take that reign away from them.
Blair, you talked about playing well at the end of the year with McIlroy, and that's an understatement. A guy I like on the U.S. team for that same reason, he seemed to be on the hunt a lot, was Jim Furyk, not one of the young bucks by any stretch at this point in his career. Would you see him as one of the strong points of the U.S. Team?
Definitely. You know, Jim, you know, day in and day out, you know, he's still, you know, a top five golfer in the world for the last, well, 10, 12, 15 years. He's the most consistent out of that bunch, you know, Phil Mickelson, of course, too. But, you know, Jim just seems to, you know, he's got that demeanor about himself. He's just, you know, so calm and cool. And his swing is just, he repeats the same motion over and over. He's one of the best drivers of the golf ball off the tee. So, you know, when you play that alternate shot format, that's huge. You want that ball in play. So I think you're going to see Jim Furyk being a big part of the U.S. team this coming weekend for sure.
Blair, to follow up on that, I mean, golf is as individual a game as you can get, and that's one of the beauties of it. But, you know, when you get into this team concept, you can have captains, and Tom Watson's a legend, and you go right down the list of people like that. But having an experienced player like a Furyk, and despite his lack of success, a Phil Mickelson, to settle things down and to talk to the younger guys and talk them through some things. Is there room for that in the game of golf, or does it stay individualistic even though this is a team setup?
You know what? I think, you know, the experience there, I was watching the Legends of Ryder Cup, you know, this week on the Golf Channel, and you know, one of the all-time great Ryder Cup, Nick Faldo, was, you know, talking about the stage presence on that first tee when you get up there, and he says if you're not nervous, then you're not breathing. He says it's so different than standing up and you know, playing for yourself. Now you're playing for your country, all these people watching. He says it's like 60,000 people standing over top of you in the first tee box, and the cheers and the flags, and so it's totally different atmosphere, and to have those guys there and their experience for the young guys that haven't had the opportunity. I think there's only a couple of guys on the team that haven't been there yet, but that's going to play a huge role in calming them down. And I don't know any words of wisdom will be able to calm them down. I can't imagine that. They're just going to be, you know, their nerves are going to be just riding high, and their heart rate's going to be going, and it's just going to, it's, you know, how they channel that and control those emotions are going to play a big part in the outcome of the results of the Ryder Cup this year, for sure.
Blair, you've you know, being a pro, you've played in this style. You've also, of course, played on tour. I look at a guy like Ian Poulter, who's 12-3 in his career in Ryder Cup. So obviously, one of the main reasons why they've won the last three. But you look at his game there, and then you put him on tour, and we see it for 1 day or 2 days. He's at the top of the leaderboard, and then boom, he's gone. Does foursomes or four ball, does it allow for more inconsistency, and that's why a guy like Poulter is so good?
Yeah, you know, when you're playing best ball, okay, you have a partner, so when you're playing best ball, you know, there's a little bit of pressure taken off an individual. You know, they're trying to make every shot, but I think with Ian Poulter, you know, he's ranked, what, 38th in the world now or something like that. To not have him on the team would be a huge mistake. He, for whatever reason, you know, guys just rise to the occasion in whatever events. You know, some guys like Rory McIlroy, you know, he rises to the occasion in majors, to Tiger Woods. But in these team-setting events, Ian Poulter just seems to suit his game. And you know, I think with the format that, like, you know, like the alternate shot or the best ball, you have that support of your partner, and it kind of gives you, you know, loosens you up a little bit. And I think that's why he performs that much better.
On the European side, Blair, I love the way Lee Westwood plays golf. His record in the Ryder Cup is good, not ridiculously outstanding. McIlroy, we all know. Is there a name on that? Anyway, Garcia's been around now a long time. Is there a name on that list that's a bit under the radar in your mind, who's a real good player?
On the European team, you got to watch out for, you know, Graham McDowell. He, in 2010, he was the one that sealed the deal for them coming down the stretch. You know, you always hear the McIlroys, the Westwoods, and the Poulters, but Graham McDowell, he's, you know, I think that's the guy you got to really watch for on European this year. He's just another top-notch golfer. And you made a comment that doesn't, you know, Lee Westwood doesn't really have that, you know, outstanding of a record, but really, a lot of these guys, other than Nick Faldo, have a huge winning record. That's how tough the Ryder Cup is, and that's how good these players are. And anybody can beat anybody on any given day.
Blair Oco from the Blair Oco Golf Academy joins us. One other quick one, Blair, on the Ryder Cup. When you guys, a captain, go into the matchups, right? You've played against guys, and I know that in hockey, when you play man-on-man, some guys don't like matching up. Do you find that in golf, even though you're not physically engaged with the other person, you are walking, you know, and he's playing, you're playing shot for shot, do you can it get into your head even in golf when there's not the actual physical confrontations amongst players where some guys just don't match up well against others?
Oh, totally. You know, and this is where Tom Watson, he's you know, been studying this for a long time, and who he feels is going to match up with certain guys on the other team, and you know, sometimes it's a guessing game, but personalities, and that's, you know, on Sunday, that's when the Ryder Cup really gets interesting. Is in '99 when, you know, the U.S. was down big time, and Ben Crenshaw said it. He had a feeling that he was pairing up his guys against the right guys, and you know what? He did. He did an unbelievable job, and they came from the biggest deficit in Ryder Cup history to pull it off. And you know, this year it's going to be the same. And I think U.S. has the right guy to make those matchups. And Tom Watson, you know, the legend of the game, and you know, big time Ryder Cup player, and very successful in the Ryder Cup. So it's going to be just a really exciting weekend.
And before I let you go, Blair, I know guys will be thinking about golf and then the Ryder Cup's over, but golf season might end for a lot of people on the course, but do you not have your golf league going indoors starting in October?
Yeah, golf doesn't stop at our place here. All winter long we're going with, we have the virtual golf, and we have the leagues going, we have people signing up, and if anybody, you know, wants to get involved in our league and come out and keep your swing in tune. You know, we're open year round. We got the driving range, and so you don't have to put your clubs away. Make sure you keep them out.
And how do they sign up for that?
Well, they can give us a call here at the Golf Academy, or you know, they can go on our website. Simple, just go to boga.com, and our information on the virtual golf is on the website. But if you have some questions, you want to get a team into the league, you know, if there's four or five or six of you that want to play, we have teams like that. So they're, you know, we do it every week, but you know, you can form a team and have some spares, or if you're just a single and we're looking for a team, we also make up teams too. So, you know, we want to keep people golfing all year round. It's a great social sport in the winter, and it's a lot of fun.
Boga.com, which is, of course, the Blair Oco Golf Academy.com. Boga.
Boga.
Right, well, exactly. That's probably because you took a few bogeys, eh?
Well, I've had a few bogeys over here.
A few pars, maybe a few doubles. Now, what's the honest question before they go? What is the most strokes you've ever taken on a hole?
In competitive?
Yeah.
Well, you really want to know?
Yeah.
I was playing, this is going back, it's going to be the Edmonton Open at the Highlands, and it's funny because both tournaments that I played in was one, the Alberta Open, it was at the Highlands, and the Edmonton Open about 10 years ago, on that little par four, fourth hole, I hit it into the right rough and had a heck of a time getting out of there and ended up making an 11. Or 13, sorry, I had a 13.
A 13 on a par 3?
No, it's par 4. It's a par 4.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
I got into that long grass, and I chipped it in behind a tree and then hit another tree, and it, you know what? I didn't even lose a ball. And that, it just kept snowballing. I couldn't get it out of the rough. And, hindsight, I should have taken a drop and got it out of there. But, sometimes you get stubborn and, competitiveness sets in, and you say, oh, I can get this out of here. And next thing you know it, 13. And I'll never forget it. Curtis Stock from the Journal, he put a little article in the paper about it, and I phoned him up, and I said, what are you doing talking about the 13? Talk about the guys that shot 67, not me making a 13, but they were talking about how tough the course was. So that's my highest score I've ever made in a competition.
Well, hey, the best part is you didn't even lose a ball, so it's legitimate 13 strokes.
Hey, and did Stock say, hey, listen, go stop complaining?
Well, here's another thing, is that part of that 13 was my ball went underneath a little bush, right? So I went into the bush not even thinking. I took my hand and I moved a branch as I walked in, and then I took my setup and I took a swing. Well, Harry Zuzak, who is with the Alberta Golf Association rules official, was watching me, and he comes up to me and he goes, Blair, he says, you touched the tree with your hand. And this was like, I think, about my eighth stroke, so I wasn't even focused on that. And I said, really? He says, well, did you? I said, well, Harry, I really don't know. Did I? And he says, yeah. He says, you know what? Don't worry about it. I said, no, listen. If I did, I tell you the truth, I really don't know if I did or didn't. And he says, well, your right hand just moved the branch about a foot or so. I said, well, you know what? What's the penalty? He says, two strokes. So actually, I did get a two-shot penalty.
Oh, okay.
So I was 11, but I had to take the two shots because of that. Ooh. And I said, well, if I did, I did. And he says he did. I said, okay, mark a 13.
So for all of us out there right now who play, and we've all played, and I can say for a fact, I have played where my ball's under a tree and you can't get a good swing, but I'll back into the branches enough just so I can get a half swing. Technically, that's two stroke. I didn't even know that rule.
Well, what you have to do, and this is something that people need to know, is make sure you have both hands on the club.
Oh.
And then back in, because you're taking your normal stance. You can't be breaking branches and moving this. But if you wiggle in, you push your butt in there, and you wiggle in to get the shot. As long as both hands are on the club, and then you can make your swing. But if you start moving branches with your hands, it's what they call building a stance. And that's what happened to Craig Stadler years ago at Torrey Pines when he laid down the towel underneath the tree because he didn't want to get his pants dirty. It's called building a stance. And so a viewer called in, and there's a plaque there to this day, but he ended up losing the tournament because of that.
Wow.
Cost him about $235,000.
I love it, man. Hey, we just learned something new.
His pants were clean.
Blair, I appreciate it, man. Enjoy the Ryder Cup this weekend and have fun with the golf indoors all winter.
Yeah, you betcha, guys. Have a good one.